that he wants us to do. Because if the Lord isn't with us, and we're not doing the things that he wants us to do, our life is going to be miserable, right? Life's not going to be great if God's not with us and we're not doing the things that he created us to do. Now, whether you know it or not, you're a leader, right? Let me say that again. Whether you know it or not, you're a leader. And what do we know about a leader? What do we know about a leader? Every good leader was once a good follower. Every good leader was once a good follower. So let's look at Joshua. Let's look at his life here. Let's jump right into Scripture. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 says this. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negevi wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand up against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. Notice this last part. I will not fail you or abandon you. I will not fail you or abandon you. What do we find in these opening verses here at the beginning of the book of Joshua? We find here a summary of the book of Joshua. A summary of the book of Joshua. Verse 2 describes the crossing of the Jordan. The crossing of the Jordan. Verse 3 outlines the conquest. Verse 4 implies the distribution of the land. And verse 5 is Joshua's life in a nutshell. What we see happening here in these verses will probably happen to us in our lifetime. We're going to have to cross some big rivers. You may be on the cusp of crossing a big river right now. You may be in the middle of that big river in your life, right? And that big river for you right now may be something to do with your job. Your job situation, your career, your future. Maybe it has to do with your family, something that's happening, going on right now in your family, and you're about to navigate, go through this big situation here, make some decisions in your family. Maybe it's in your marriage, or something to do with your health, or the health of a loved one, a mom or a dad. These are all issues that we'll have to navigate, rivers we'll have to cross at some point in our lives. And they can seem very big, very overwhelming. And maybe you're here today and you're just overwhelmed by the situation. What does the Lord have to say to us? Well, in Isaiah says this, Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid. Same message to Joshua. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for I have ransomed you. I've paid a price for you. I have called you by name. I know your name. He hasn't forgotten about you and your situation. You are mine. You belong to me. When you go through deep waters, when you're crossing this big river, this thing in your life, right, I will be go through rivers of difficulty, when things are difficult, when they're tough, when you're stressed out, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. What the Lord said to Joshua and the nation of Israel, he says to you and me, I will not fail you or abandon you. I will not fail you or abandon you. And some of you need to just let that marinate in your minds and sink deep down in your heart today. That God hasn't brought you this far in life just to drop you off, just to leave you on the side of the road. He has a plan and a purpose for you. He has a mission for you. What's his mission for you? Well, it's to help him fulfill the Great Commission. It's to help him fulfill the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission? You know the Great Commission. It's Jesus' last words to us before he left. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says this. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, what? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What is life all about? What is life all about? It's about making disciples. That is to say, walking alongside people to help them understand who Jesus is, right? Especially in our world that we live in today. People don't know who Jesus is. They don't understand who Jesus is. What people? The people you encounter every day, where you go to school, right? Where you work, in the community, those people. It's not an accident that you are where you are, right? The street you live on, the school you're in, the job you're in. It's not an accident that you are where you are. God placed you there for a reason, and it's to reach people for him. What about my job? Doesn't he care about my job? Yes, he cares about the details of your life. However, he cares more about the person you're becoming. So while it's important to be focused on your job, don't lose sight of your calling. You have a bigger calling and purpose in life. You are a child of the King. What does a child of the King do? Well, they live. They live to serve and please the King. That's what they live for. A child of the King lives to serve and believe they look like my wife, Monica. They have the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. It's also precious to me. In order to obey what the Word of God says, we have to know what the Word of God says. We got to be in the Word in order to obey the Word, which brings us to our third point. What instructions did the Lord have for Joshua to be successful? To study and meditate on the Word of God continually, right? To study and meditate upon God's Word continually, day and night, verse 8. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey on your plate today that you're mulling over in your mind? You're drifting off as I speak today, right? Something else that has grabbed your heart and your attention is just pulling you away from where you need to be? Whatever it is, it cannot be won. Whatever challenge or battle you're facing cannot be won without the Lord. Why? Because the battle belongs to the Lord. Do you remember what David said to Goliath? Let's pop in that story for just a moment. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And when I give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel when I do this. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people. The Lord takes care of his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." What is it I want you to notice? David, just like Joshua, was prepared to lead. Why? Because he trusted, he obeyed, he prayed, and therefore he knew God was with him. One couple more verses there. Verse 48. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. You know the story. Reaching into a shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. Face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone. And notice this last part. For he had no sword. He didn't have a sword. Why didn't David need a sword? It wasn't because he had a sling and a stone. It was because he knew God was with him. He knew the Lord was with him. Wherever you go, and whatever you do in life, you want to make sure that the Lord is with you. Because if he's not with you, then you don't want to go. How did Joshua know the Lord was with him? How did Joshua know that the Lord was with him? We're going to talk about this more next week, but how did he know? Give you a little preview. Because the Lord told him he was with him. Joshua was doing the things the Lord told him to do, right? He was trusting his promises. He was obeying him. He was studying and meditating on the things the Lord told him to be strong and courageous, not to be afraid, not to be discouraged, not to believe the lies that the enemy feeds you and me, to grab captive every thought that's out there and make it obedient to Christ. When Satan plants that little thought in your mind, you're not this, you're not that, you grab it and say, I am strong in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And God is with me. He's not going to fail me. He's not going to abandon me. He's going to bring me through this river of difficulty, this challenge that I'm facing today. How did Joshua know the Lord was with him? First, because he was doing the things God told him to do. He was following his instructions. Therefore, the Lord told him he was with him. He also knew because people followed him in his his enemies, as we're going to see, melted away in front of him. Here's my prayer for you. My prayer is that the Lord would go with you. My prayer is that the Lord would go with you, that he would go before you, that as you follow Jesus, as you follow the Lord, people would follow. The people in your life, your family, your friends, your teammates, your classmates, and the things you're worried about, the things you're concerned about, they would just melt away as you follow the Lord. That's my prayer for you. Now, as we close, I want to share one final thing, one short story here. This last Wednesday night was our last youth group meeting, our last teaching time, that is to say. This coming Wednesday night, we're having a youth party for the kids. We'll have some silly games and gift cards and things of that sort, and it will be fun. But our last teaching time was on fasting. The messages come from Eagle Brook Church, a great church up in Minneapolis, and the youth pastor there, they have a middle school and a high school youth pastor. They tape their messages, and the message was on fasting. Fasting. And the high school pastor defined fasting as something that you give up that you love for something even better. Something you give up that you love for something even better. And it's not just in terms of eating that we fast. Certainly that's fasting. But sometimes we need to give up other things. Social media, right? Doom scrolling, right? Where we just waste lots of time and our heart and our mind go somewhere else. And one of the kids that came this last Wednesday night made a sacrifice. He gave up something he loved, really loved, for something even better. We were low on attendance this last Wednesday night. Why? Because baseball started. Soccer started. So there weren't a lot of kids. But this kid said, you know what? I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to give up something I love for something even better. I'm coming to youth group. He embodied the message we were talking about that night. It wasn't an easy decision for him. His dad said when they left the house that it was his decision to go to youth group or to go to baseball practice. He said his son cried. He tried. It was his decision. He made his decision to come to church, but it wasn't easy. His dad said, you know what made it hard also? That he's the captain of the baseball team. The captain of the baseball team? activity and busyness has crept into my life, and I find that sometimes my heart is just far from the Lord. If I were being real honest, I check church off like it's something else on the list. I fed the dog,